God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, the 13th day of November, 2011, and you're listening to our evening worship. Our sermon is preached by evangelist Dave McCracken. It is entitled, Take Off the Mask. So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed from the preaching of God's Word.
Shepherd cries, another spotless lamb must die. Oh, how could just one sacrifice our God Jehovah satisfy? Year after year, the blood would flow. No, patience day fulfilled the plan. The promise came. One holy lamb washed my sin away. One sacrifice paid a price I could not pay.
Appreciate that, Miss Judy. What's impressive about that is she can't hardly talk. So I was talking before church. I said, "Hi, preacher. How you doing? I'm singing tonight." I said, "I want to see this." She did a good job. I was very impressed. So amen. Good stuff. Well, Brother McCracken, going to let him come back up. Hope you'll come back each evening as he continues this series. Appreciate the messages, Brother Dave. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I am glad to see that some of you came back tonight. I will tell you, I noticed that everybody didn't come back. But I am glad you're here, and you friends and guests that have come tonight, thank you very, very much for being here with us. We hope that it's a blessing to you, and pray that all of us would open up our hearts wide, give God opportunity to do something mighty in us in these few days. I don't know what you've got planned Monday, Tuesday night, and Wednesday, but I want to encourage you to do what you can to get here. Tomorrow night, I don't know if you've ever heard a preacher say that God's really not interested in you doing good. But tomorrow night, the preacher that's going to preach, the Lord willing, will say that. I want you to come. I believe that it's eye-opening what we're going to look at tomorrow night. Then Tuesday night really, really sets the stage for Wednesday night. And Wednesday night is going to be one of those illustrations that you will never, it'll go with you a long, long time. You're going to be thinking about it. It affects Wednesday night's illustration, the Lord willing, it affects from the youngest in here, first, second graders, they're going to catch it. And then, of course, us that are not young, it can help us. And I believe it can change and rearrange some areas of our life in all facets. And so you don't want to miss Wednesday. And so if you want to come Wednesday, if you're going to come Wednesday, you really need to be here Tuesday so you can understand Wednesday. Because Tuesday really helps you see that. And anyway, you just need to be here for all the messages and see what God will do in your life and heart. Please invite people to come. Please don't make this something that you don't invite others to. I was in Mobile, Alabama last week, and Pastor, this is the first time, I've been preaching a long time, it's the first time that someone came up to me and he said to me, man, he said, this is the first revival that I've ever really tried to get other people to come to. And I said, well, praise God, I'm glad you finally started doing that. But we ought to be doing that every time we have a service. Let me give you another chance. We ought to be doing that every time we have a service. But we go, well, it's just church. And we don't. No, we need to invite people to come and see what the Lord can do to them. And what he'd like to do in them through the Word of God. So anyway, there's some CDs back there in the back. Okay, I said that. All right, now let's do this. If you got a, let's see, there's an Italian book in the Bible, the Italian book, Malachi. If you got a ribbon thingy, Bob, if you would put it in the book of Malachi. Now, if you don't know where for sure where it is, go to the book of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew. And right in front of Matthew is that famous Italian. Malachi. Then after you put a marker there of some kind, if you would turn to the book of Genesis, page number 2 in your Bibles. Page number 2. Right. The CDs that we have in the back, most of them are MP3 players. I don't know what that means. I do know that if you have a computer, you can play it. If you're car is a new car, 2008 or newer, it should work in there. If it's an older CD player, it might not recognize it. So sorry. If you just have a regular CD player, it won't work in there. It has to be a computer or one of the new CD players that reads MP3. I honestly have no clue what that means. The initials or numbers and all that. I just know that it doesn't work on all of them. So that there are 5 sermons on this one CD. The only way you can get 5 on here is if you put them like in MP3 format. They won't fit on here if you put them regular CD. That's what I know about it. So anyway, 5 sermons, $10. $2 a sermon. What a bargain. And I've got some cheap sermons. All right, if you're able, stand with me, please. Page number 2, Genesis chapter 2 in your Bibles. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep him. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Chapter 3, Verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, let me ask you a question. You can answer out loud. If God says you're going to die, and the enemy or the serpent or Satan says you're not going to die, God says you're going to die, Satan says you're not going to die, which one do you think is telling the truth? Go ahead and say it out loud. Well, yeah. Anyway, so all of us in here are smarter than Eve. Oh, look, verse 5. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as little G-O-Ds, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The horrible act that infects all of humanity is that Satan lied to Eve and she believed the liar. He tempts her, he lures her, and he says, oh, this will make you wise, this will make you like a little G-O-D. And he tries to get her to come over, and she knows what God says, and she's hearing what Satan says, and she says, I'm taking it. And she believed the liar. Let me pray with you, please. No, I'm sorry. We got to go to 1 John. Got all excited about getting ready to preach. 1 John, if you don't know where it is, the last book of the Bible. Right in front of the last book of the Bible. 1 John chapter 1. Just 3 pages in front of the Revelation. I don't know for sure, but it's really close to... I just love the book. I love 1 John. It's one of my favorite books. The reason it is, when I read, I see pictures in the Bible. This morning I was reading, and the prophet Micaiah came in, and he was telling that the other prophet that put metal horns on his head, you know, that he's a liar and all that. And I can see all the pictures. But 1 John... Oh, mercy. He's the youngest of the disciples, of the apostles, and he had this close, when you see Jesus and John together, it's like they're, Jesus is like his big brother, and he's his little buddy, and he's got him always, and he's close to Jesus all the time. He got to see Jesus, touch Jesus, hear Jesus. Mercy. And I love 1 John. I'll just show you because of, this. Anyway, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, look, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. He said the life was manifested. We have seen it. Bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also, look what John says. He says, I want ye also to have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. He says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I just love it that John was there, he handled, and he says, and he's saying, hey, McCracken, I want you to have fellowship with us too. So he says, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 10. If we say, now let's just stop right there and look up here a moment, please. I know you're still standing. I'm going to stand the whole sermon, but it's okay. Right. If we say, you know that it's possible that any human can say anything. You can say whatever you want to say. Just because you say it doesn't make it so's it. Don't you know people like that? They're always saying things and it's not real. Today, I could say to you, you can tell by looking at me, I'm very athletic. I'm an athlete. I could go out here to the gym where the basketball goal is, and with these shoes I have on, the dress shoes, you could give me the basketball. I would need to take off my jacket. I can stand underneath the goal and hold that ball with two hands, and I can leap enough that I can jam that ball down that hole with two hands. I can say that. Excuse me, I can say it, can I? Doesn't make it so's. You'd like to see it, wouldn't you? Oh, no, I can say it whatever I... People say stuff all the time. It ain't so's. Don't you know people that are always telling you stuff and you're going, yeah, I'd like to see that. Watch verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray, please. Dear God in heaven, I come to you again, and I do give you glory and praise and thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for health to be here tonight. Thank you for salvation, and we can know it. Thank you for the word of God that we have in our hands, and it teaches us how it's handled you and heard you and seen you. Lord, thank you. I pray that what we're going to look at tonight would make impact on us. Lord, I know the pastors mentioned and some others have mentioned they've been looking forward to the revival and actually prayed for the revival. And God, I do. I pray again and ask, wilt thou not revive us again? Please, God, meet with us, revive us. Refresh us, stir us up more. God, we get so easily sidetracked. And then Jesus, for anyone in the room that's not yet born again, I pray for them. I pray that you would help them see their clear need and awareness that they must be born again. So Lord, we love you. Thank you for what we've already enjoyed today, tonight, and fellowship and song and reading. I pray that you would be glorified. And it's in the mighty name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've all been, I'm going to give you a chance to say amen at the beginning, right? We've all been contaminated by Satan. There is no human that is not contaminated by Satan that has a human father. Everybody's contaminated. We are all, well, liars. We come to it naturally. It's part of being a living, breathing human. It starts in infancy and childhood, and as we get older, we should think it would see its demise, but actually it matures, and we become masters at lying. The enemy, Satan, is the one that started all this, and he lies to Eve, Adam, and he lies to them, and they believe his lie, and they take of the forbidden fruit. But it's not just Adam and Eve that have the tragedy of believing his lie. We are still believing his lies today. I'm going to give you another chance to everybody agree with that. Okay, here we go. We are still believing the lies of Satan today. I agree with you. We are. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And what happens, it causes us to live or have an illusion how things really are. We don't see what's really there. And there's an illusion that is built by us believing the lies that Satan tells about ourselves. And we believe him and we're going, oh yeah. And then we begin to live in this realm of illusion. I know where I'm standing. I'm standing in Independent Fundamental God Fearing Double Hating Bible Believing Baptist Church. That's where I am. And I know that in many of our churches, this word I'm getting ready to say is not a good word. Illusions are magic. I know we're not supposed to say magic, but I think those magicians are the coolest thing. I love to watch the magician do magic. It's like magic to me. I know, it's an illusion. It's really not what I think I see, but it sure looks like what I think I see. That weirdo that's on TV sometimes, he had a card, like a card, and he slapped it against a window of a store. He's just walking down the street. Slaps it. And then that card is no longer in his hand. It's on the other side of that window. Now, that's weird. Nancy and I, the last 3 years, have gone to Branson at Christmas time. And there was a guy there named Kirby. I don't know that other. It's either the last or the first. But anyway, something Kirby. Kirby something. Anyway, we've been to his magic show. I've been to it 3 times. I like it. We've been to Dixie Stampede 2 of the last 3 years. Now, Dixie Stampede, they do a little horse show out there, but in the middle of it, they have this little magic thing. And they bring the guy out. He's supposed to be a goober. You know, he's a hayseed. And he comes out, and they got three covered wagons making a figure eight out there. And so they stop, and he says, "Hey, goober." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well..." He said, "I want you to see how smart you are." And they bring a woman. They get her out of the audience and bring her down and put her inside the wagon. And he said, "I want you to watch that wagon and tell me when the wagon stops which one she's in." Well, I'm watching the same one Goober's watching. And I know which one she's in. I know which one they put her in. It's easy. It's a big old wagon going around in a figure eight. Well, they stop and they go, "Okay." And she's not in there. She's in another wagon. That's magic. I know it's an illusion, but that stuff fascinates me. I like to watch it, and I'm trying to figure out how they do it. And I do. I say, I'm not looking over there. He's trying to get me to look over there. I'm not doing it. I'm going to watch his hands and see what they do. And I cannot watch these people do magic. I try. It fascinates me. It's an illusion, though. It's really not some kind of demonic magic. It is an illusion that they are tricking us. Amen? Now watch. When Satan causes me and you to believe what he's telling about us, we begin to see an illusion, but we don't know that it's an illusion. We think it's real. We begin to live in this realm that is not true. How is this illusion built? It's here in 1 John. I want to show it to you. How is this illusion built? Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Here it is. Look up here. Here's how we build the illusion. Here's how it begins to be built. We lie and do not the truth. Now, what do you mean by that? I mean, we give off an impression about ourselves that is not real. We give off an impression about ourselves and we want other people to believe that's not really, really us. What do you mean, Brother Dave? Well, let me give you a couple for instances, okay? We'd like to, here we are at church. Let's do this one. We give off the impression that we are spiritual. If there's anybody spiritual in this church, well, you're looking at him. I am a spiritual giant. That's how I think and live and breathe. I just don't do that worldly stuff. I'm very spiritually minded. God's on my mind all the time. I just can't think about lowly stuff like you folks. Excuse me? Many of us in this room would try to give off the impression that we're spiritual when the truth is during the week we're very rarely spiritual. We try to give off the impression that we are lovers of the Bible. When we come to church, oh, I love this book. This is awesome. You guys are so good. Brother, Pastor John, you just teach us so much the Bible. I love how you do it. It is so good. You work so good. And then during the week, you don't ever read it. Does anybody listen to me? You want to give off the impression that you're a Bible lover, but you don't read the Bible. Is anybody paying attention to anything I'm saying? People come to church, they give off the impression that they are generous and that they're liberal in their giving, and that if there's anybody in this church, whoa, that's going to stand behind the giving and the needs here, you can count on me, preacher. But the truth is, you're very stingy in your giving. You're not liberal at all. People like to give off the impression that they're people who pray. Well, at least there's one person here that prays. It's me. You folks are lucky I'm with you, because I'm someone who prays. And you want to give off the impression, and you want other people to think you're spiritual, and that you're a prayer warrior, that you're a soul winner, that you're interested in the lost, and that you're liberal in your giving, and so on. And the truth is, watch, look up here. Actually, what you're doing, you're wearing a mask. You're behaving and acting like you're one thing, but you're really not. Now, that's what he just said. In verse number 6, he said, we lie and do not the truth. Our behavior out here is one thing, but what we really are in here is another. And Satan tells us that, well, you're doing okay. You're fine. Don't listen to him about that generous and giving thing. You give plenty. You're awesome. Satan says, you're doing great. You don't have time to read your Bible like other people. So you just pretend that you do. Is anybody listening to anything I'm saying? We act the lie. Please look up here, please. We act the lie. You almost done? I hate to embarrass you, but that embarrasses me. Some people think that we don't look around while we're preaching. Anyway, I got this ADD thing. I got a lot of alphabet. I got the CDD. I got the ADD, the OCD. I got BVDs and DVDs. I got the whole alphabet. Anyway, we act. Watch, you can act the lie without ever saying the lie. You can act like you do one thing, even though you didn't say it. Let's just go ahead and get it over with. There are people that have been doing that for years. Excuse me, is everybody in your own family? You got people that pretend like they're something and they're really not. And then in your church family, there is this pretending, this acting that's not true. It's not real. They're play acting. They are wearing the mask. And so when you see them here, they're acting like they're one thing. But the truth of the matter is their heart is deceitful. The truth of the matter is they're not generous at all. The truth is they're not Bible readers at all. The truth is they don't witness and pass out tracts. The truth, is anybody paying attention? Oh, yeah, you're acting like it. Oh, yeah, I'm deacon material. I should be a deacon. I should be a Sunday school teacher. Listen to this verse. We're going to turn to it in a couple days. Just listen to it. It's John 3:20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Listen, look up here. People that are wearing a mask and that are doing evil do not want to come to the light because they do not want their deeds to be reproved or made manifest. So we steer away from that and we wear our mask. Look at verse number 8. I want to show you building the illusion. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Excuse me, look up here. Remember, you can say whatever you want to say. Some people have acted the lie for so long, they've acted like they are one way that they actually begin to believe the lie. Now, I've got 5 brothers and 5 sisters. There's 11 children, and when you talk to us 11, if you'll ask us the same question but separate in different rooms, you're going to get different answers. My sister tells the wildest stories. And we make fun of her saying, boy, boy, she really believes that that happened. Is everybody listening? Well, in her little heart, it did happen. But she's been acting it so long and telling it so long that she actually believes, well, that's the truth. I'll swear on the Bible that is. I don't know if you caught it or not. It says we deceive ourselves. Did you notice it in verse 8? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I don't think you're listening. If you deceive yourself, do you know you're deceived? No, I deceive myself. If I deceive myself, surely I'm smart enough to know that I'm deceiving myself. But the whole idea and the definition of deception is that you cannot know that you're deceived, otherwise you would not be deceived. So if you deceive yourself and you're wearing the mask and you're pretending to be something that you are actually not, but you have deceived yourself, you believe that you are something that you're not. But you don't know that you're deceiving yourself. Because see, if you deceive yourself and you know you're deceiving yourself, you're not deceived. Because you can't be deceived if you know it. So if you deceive yourself and you know you're deceiving yourself, you're actually just stupid. I know you're not supposed to say stupid in church, but I did. I can't think of a better word yet. You wear the mask and you are pretending and you've acted so long that you've actually now deceived yourself. That's what it says. If we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. The truth is not in us. So we really believe that we are the sort of people that we've made ourselves out to be. We really believe what the liar says about us. He says, McCracken, you're pretty awesome. And I'm going, I think you're right. Listen to what we believe about ourselves. We are quite sure that we have never done anyone any harm. That's the last thing I would do is hurt somebody. I am not like that. I have never hurt. I wouldn't hurt a flea. I've never hurt anybody. Is anybody paying attention to me? Very few of us would be able to stand up and say, well, I'd like to give you testimony of 5 people that I've hurt. Because we can't think of them. We're going, I think I'm doing pretty awesome. I'm not that kind of person. No, here's another one we do. There's not a jealous bone in my body. Is everybody paying attention? Hey, you can't. There's no way I'm not like that whatsoever. There is not a jealous bone in my body. And watch, you actually have deceived yourself so much so that you actually believe that you're telling the truth. No. It's because we believe the liar and we begin to live in this illusion about ourselves, and we actually only see the mask. We don't even see our real selves. Here's one. There's one thing I can't stand is people that are so full of pride. These proud, arrogant people. Oh, I can't stand them. I don't have a proud bone in my body. You can ask me. In fact, I'm quite proud of the fact that I'm not a proud person. Because proud, arrogant people, they just make me sick. But I know about me. I'm not proud. I don't think I'm better than other people. Is anybody paying attention? Yeah. We act like that we're truly consecrated to the Lord. We act like that we are dedicated, strong Christians. Well, preacher, there's one person you can depend on in this church. It's me. Now, you've been pastoring a long time now. Whoa. 25 years almost. You're like old. But you've been pastor long enough to know that many times the person that comes up to you and says, "Preacher, you can count on me. I'm behind you." This is one true follower right here. I'm with you. And then 3 years later, 5 years later, come back and say, "What happened to brother? What happened to?" And you go, "Oh, they don't go here anymore. They got a little disappointed and took a few other families." Is anybody paying attention to anything I'm saying? No. I'm not belittling, saying, "Hey, preacher, I'm with you. I'm behind you," and so on. But often people are just wearing the mask because they actually believe they're the sort of people that Satan's made them to believe themselves to be. That I'm dedicated, I'm consecrated to the Lord. If there's anybody in this church that is really a soldier for God, it's me. I came on Sunday night, after all. It's just almost gross to hear people brag about how dedicated they are. How you can count on them and they want to tell you about all the exploits they've done. Hey, look up here. I know this. I don't have a bad attitude. Oh, lots of people in our church, they got the wrong attitude. But there's one thing about me. I've got the right attitude. Is anybody paying attention to anything I'm saying? Time out. I don't know if you're catching it. I want you to answer it out loud. Just because we say it, it doesn't make it so's it. Yes or no? Just because I say it, it doesn't make it so. Now, if you believe that, say amen. Just because I say it doesn't make it so. Just because you say it doesn't make it so. You could be wearing one of them there masks. Amen? See, the deal is often when you're wearing a mask, you don't even know you're wearing the mask. Well, if I was wearing a mask, I'd know it. Well, if you deceived yourself, you might not. I don't know if anybody remembers, like in the Bible, in Luke 18, there was this Pharisee. The Bible said he came into the temple and he stood in the temple and he prayed to himself and said, "I thank thee, God, but I'm not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner, unjust, an adulterer. I'm not even like this publican." Yeah. He'd been saying that for so long, he actually believed it. But the truth is, he was just as adulterous, just as unjust or covetous as any other human. Well, you say, "Brother, what do you mean?" Well, Jesus said, if you think it. Is anybody paying attention to what I'm talking about? See, the Pharisee was living in the same realm of delusion that we do. Okay, we're on the last leg of this. Here we go, verse 10. We're talking about building the illusion. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Look up here. If I'm confronted with sin, and I say, what are you talking about? I didn't sin. Where did I sin? Here's what we're doing. Look up here. We make him a liar. Whenever you and I argue with God, whenever we debate with God and we're acting like, what are you talking about? What? I'm not proud. I'm not arrogant. I'm not jealous. I am too committed. I am too consecrated. I'm just as consecrated as anybody else in this room. I am too a Bible lover. I do too pray. Watch. Whenever God confronts us about it and we act like that we are not guilty, here's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. We make him a liar. That's the same words as saying, buzz off, God. You're wrong. You're a liar. Now, let me just ask you a question. And I'm just being honest here. If Brother Schuyler said that he was not guilty, would you and I usually believe him and say, well, yeah, I believe what Schuyler's saying. Amen? We trust him, mostly. No, we do trust him, amen? I have confidence in him. Excuse me, though. If God said, you're guilty, and Brother Schuyler said, I am not guilty, I wonder who I'm going to believe. Is everybody paying attention? Now, if a jury of 12 people of your peers say that you're guilty and you say you're not guilty, I still don't know. I could still believe you. Yeah. But if the Lord God says you're guilty, I know who I'm going to believe. Oh, no, I want to show it to you in the Bible. It's there in that Italian book. Turn there to Malachi. We'll do a little work here, and got a few minutes to do this, and we'll be done. When I say a few, I'm sorry, I don't mean two or three or four. I guess I should say several minutes. Are you ready? Here we go. We're going to start with chapter 1. I know some people pronounce it Malachi. It's all right. Chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. Now, time out. Let's just ponder that one moment. Look up here, please. Don't you think it's right for a son to give reverence and honor to their father? That would be like a normal family appreciation. Now, I know every father is not honorable and so on, but a son in a normal circumstance should give reverence and honor to the dad. Amen? All right, now look at the next piece of it. It says, and a servant, his master. That means that an employee should give reverence or give honor to the employer. The employee should be grateful and thankful the employer has hired them. You know, we read the word servant in there and master, and we're thinking of, you know, the slaves and the slave owners and stuff. That's not talking about that kind of relationship. It's talking about an employee-employer relationship. It's talking about someone who works for somebody else. You're their servant. Amen? No. Shouldn't a employee give honor and reverence to the employer? Now, here it is. He says it out loud. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. Now look up here. God said that the leadership of the nation of Israel, old priest, God says, I'm your father and I'm your master, but where's my fear? Where's my honor? That's what he says. He said, you despise my name, is what God said to the leadership of Israel. Somebody agree with that? Say amen. Now watch what they do. Verse 6. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Please look up here, please. The leadership of Israel, the priests say, where? What are you talking about? How do we despise your name? Everybody listening? Excuse me, I'll just go ahead and tell you I know the answer. If God says, you despise my name, and the priest said, what are you talking about? Who are we going to believe? Absolutely. Well, so God tells them. Mercy, verse 7. God says, well, here you did it. You offered polluted bread up on mine altar. Excuse me up here, please, please. The altar of God is special. It's supposed to be a place of like holiness and honor and righteousness and truth. And he said, God said, you brought polluted offering. That which is tainted, dirty. You brought it to mine altar. Look what they said, verse 7. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? Look up here again. If God said they brought polluted bread and they said they didn't, who are you going to believe? Well, God. So God tells them how they brought polluted bread upon the altar. In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. God, your sacrifices and your offerings that you require and all this exercise that you want from us, it is wearing me out. God said, that's how you polluted me. Is anybody listening? Let's keep going. Verse 12. But ye have profaned it in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted and the fruit thereof, even as meat is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn and lame and the sick. Thus ye have brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Good night. These people are saying, God, your table is polluted. These sacrifices are contemptible. He says, the people, God says, you have said, what a weariness is this? Is anybody paying attention? The people of Israel, the leadership of Israel, and the folks of Israel were saying, God, you want too much. This is wearing me out. This is aggravating. I don't have time for all these sacrifices. I don't have time for all this. You just want my whole life? Come on. I've got a life to live here too. This is wearing me out. Expecting me to go to church all the time. Expecting me to be faithful. Expecting me to give part of my hard-earned money. All these sacrifices, and you got to do it special. You got to do it the right way. And you need to pay attention to what you're doing. This is wearing me out. God, give me a break. Excuse me, I don't know if anybody's listening or not. Our churches today are filled with people that in their hearts, they might not say it out loud, but in their heart they're going, another revival? Good night, preacher. It's like you want us to live up there. You want us to come up there all the time just to spend the night? We got another life, you know. You're going to take another special offering? You want me to read my Bible like every day? You want me to come and help witness and canvas and go over a neighborhood? Come on, I've got a... Is anybody paying attention to me? No, it wasn't just those people back in the book of Malachi doing this. People are still doing it today. It breaks my heart. I want to read this verse again, verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Look up here, please. I think most easily seen is when a parent is talking to a child. their own child. And a parent gives instructions and guidelines and parameters and says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do this. I don't know if you've ever seen a child do this. They go like this. Is anybody paying attention? That's the same word as snuffed at. That's where it's most easily seen. When a child snuffs at a parent, you don't have to do the sound. Just look up here, I'll show you this. Parent gives a kid an instruction, the kid goes like this. Same. And then, have you parents ever said this? Don't give me that look. What look am I giving you? I'm not giving you a look. Is anybody paying attention to anything I'm saying? See, that's the same thing as snuffing at it. I don't know if it's ever happened to you before. You fellas come in, you've been working, you've been out, you come in the house, and you see your woman. You say, hey, honey, how's it going? And she says, you need to fix that toilet that's running back there. I just can't take it anymore. When are you going to fix that toilet? And us loving, gentle, kind men say, you think I haven't been doing anything all day, just laying around? I just don't have time to drop everything and go fix that toilet. No, you don't have to say it out loud. You can just go, I don't know. It probably never happens in these homes up all the way up here in Ponca City, but it's possible that a husband could come in and say something to his wife about, honey, did you get that shirt fixed? Or honey, did you get those pants fixed? Or honey, did, and she says, you just think I lay around all day and lay on the couch and watch TV and eat bonbons? That's what you think, isn't it? That's what you think, isn't it? That's called snuffing at it. Is anybody listening? I'm telling you, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking when a child does it to a parent and the parent lets it slide and acts like, well, what can I do with these kids? It's heartbreaking when a wife has a need and the husband just acts like, get off my back, woman. It's heartbreaking. And you and I can see and understand why that would be called disappointing on our level. But when some human points their finger toward God or with an attitude toward God goes, I don't have anything else to do. I've got to do this too. Now you expect this? Good night. I got to find me a church that doesn't expect all this stuff. Is anybody listening to anything I'm saying? This kind of preaching won't go on in one of those other kind of churches because they're not interested in saying, God, what do you want? They're interested in saying, well, however you feel, guys. But the truth is, God gets weary with it himself, and the Bible says it's like we are making him a liar. In fact, look what they did. It's heartbreaking. Verse 13 said, you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Watch, ye have brought that which was torn, the lame, and the sick. Thus ye have brought an offering. Should I accept it? Your hand? That's what we do. We give God the bottom. We give him what's left over. If we're not too pooped, if we're not too tired, if we've got some money left over when it's all done, if God, I got my own life to live. If I've got any left, you can have some. Is anybody paying attention? It's heartbreaking. And you and I would bring bandage up stuff. I say, here, God, I want to give you an offering. Mercy. Chapter 2. Look at verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Stop. You got to catch this. In my brain, I've told you, I see pictures in my brain when I first read that. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Let me ask you this. Have you ever met any human? Is there anybody you know that they just talk like this? And you're going, take a breath. Stop it. Lay down somewhere. You know what I'm talking about? Just talk. You're going, whoa. That's what I first think of when I read that. If any of you knew my daughter, she would be disappointed that I might tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you. I have two daughters anyway. One of them needed to stay at my mom's house for 2 months in the summer because of some housing issues and so on, and she needed to live with grandma. And mom said, okay, and she lived with her, and she'd been there about 3 weeks. And she had like 4 or 5 weeks to go. I was talking to my mom on the phone. I said, well, how's it going with the name of my daughter? And my mom said, she sure don't stop talking, does she? She said, when she comes in the door, she comes in there and starts talking, and she just keeps going. Now, that's a grandmother. If a grandmother gets kind of worn out with a kid, baby, the talking, that's sad. I'm thinking she needs to lay down. That's the very first thing when I read that. It says, your words have wearied the Lord. Some people just act and talk, act like they're something. But that's not what the text is saying, even though I thought it was fun to talk about. Here we go. Look what it says. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? And here's how you weary him. When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Here's what God said. You have wearied the Lord when you act like that which is evil is not evil. When you act like that, it's no big deal. When you act like that which is unrighteous, that which is unholy, that which is carnal, that which is worldly, that which is fleshly, when you act like it is not fleshly, it is not worldly, it is not bad, what are you talking about? Is anybody paying attention to anything I'm saying? Our lives in these United States and in this period of time in history, most of us are so inundated with stuff. I don't care if it's movie stars, musician stars, sports stars. I was going to say political stars. I don't know if there's any. But we get so wrapped up in all this exterior recreation and all this entertainment stuff, and we act like, what's wrong with that? I'll just go ahead and tell you, if it has a tendency to pull you away from God, if it has a tendency to diminish righteousness, it wearies the Lord if you act like it's no big deal. It wearies him. Well, I would never do that. That's exactly what they said. What are you talking about? Where have we wearied you? And God said, when you say that which is evil is good, you think it's okay, that it's no big deal, that it's not going to bother you. God says that wearies me. Chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Stop. You got to hear this. I love this. Please listen. From the days of your father, let's see, from my days to my father. So that's two generations minimum. Amen? From the days of your fathers, two generations minimum. There could be inference that it's three, but we'll just do two. God said, you have turned away from my commandments. God says you're not listening to my commandments. You won't hear them. You won't listen to them. You won't follow them. Two generations, God says, you are not following me. Ignore my word. Let me get one of you young fellows right next to you. Come here. No, not you. Yes, come here. How old are you? Oh, that's old enough. Come on up here. Don't take. You can walk as slow as you can. Come here. I want you to stand over here. Is that all right? You're excited about this, aren't you? I can tell you're excited. Okay, you're over here. I'm going to move over here. You stay there. Now, here's what God says. For two generations, from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from me. Look at the next words. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Now watch. He represents the nation of Israel. Two generations. You've been gone from God for two generations. Well, I guess I represent God. God said these words. Here's what God said. If you would return unto me, I will return unto you. Does that sound like a revival? Doesn't that sound like a hallelujah time? It sounds like an invitation given by God. Hey, return unto me. Return unto me. I will return unto you. Yes, I will. Oh, hallelujah. Praise. Thank you for coming back, son. Amen. That's what it says in the Bible. Go back there. I want to show you something. No. Here's look. Did you notice what the Bible said? Verse 7. Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Excuse me just a second. Remember we've been talking about whoever said it, whether we believe it or not? If God said, if you return to me, I'll return to you, would you believe God? Look what they said. But ye said, wherein shall we return? We didn't go anywhere. Is anybody paying attention? Now, who are you going to believe? You going to believe the people of Israel that they didn't go? Or are you going to believe God that they left? Amen. See, you turned down God. You could have got right with him. You could have got a big hug from God. But you didn't return. I don't think you're very smart. I mean, I don't think Israel's very smart. Thank you for helping me. Thank you. Okay. Is anybody catching this? God is offering revival to every one of us. He said, if you'd return to me, even though you've been wearing the mask, he said, I'll return to you. Now keep going. Since we're here, we might as well do verse 8. Will a man rob God? Here he goes, my little picture again. Look up here. God is seated on this golden, beautiful throne with this bright sun light around it. And there's angels around him, holy, holy, holy. And he's there. And he's got the precious everything around him, you know, the golden streets, the walls of jasper, all this precious everything. And yet you can see somebody in a black suit with a black hooded mask on with the holes in it and black gloves. And they got a little gun and they're sneaking up on God. They're going to rob God? That's insane. It's insane to think any bozo brain thinks they can rob God. But God said you did. Oh, no, look at this right there. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And ye say, here they go sazing again. Wherein have we robbed thee? Like, what are you talking about? And God says, well, let me tell you, in tithes and offerings. So you don't have to wear a black ninja outfit and have a gun to rob God. You can do it in tithes and offerings. Mercy. We need to finish. Verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Well, ye have said, it is vain, it's useless, it's empty. It's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Look up here, please. If God says that you say it's vain to serve God, and you say, I never said that. I'm going to believe God, right? Yeah. And they said, it's useless to serve God. Now look up here. Please look up here. You got to catch this. I'm almost done. Some of you are going to be out of church in 2 years. You won't attend church anymore anywhere. You won't be reading your Bible. You won't have a heart for God and for prayer and a burden for a revival or your city. You're not going to be burdened like that. I'm serious. Some of you will not be in church in 2 years. Some of you, it might be 5 years. And here's what you're saying. It's useless. It's vain to serve God. It really, it's not any profit in it. It doesn't benefit me any by going to church regular and praying and seeking the Lord and getting right relationship with God. Now, time out. I'm almost done. Look up here. Now, every one of us in this room would say, I am not going to point my finger toward heaven and say, God, you're a liar. Every one of us would say that. But every time that we've argued with him, every time we've acted like this is too much and this is a weariness, every time we act like that which is evil is okie dokie, God says, you've made me a liar. When you and I wear the mask and we are pretending to be what we're really not and we've deceived ourselves, we're calling God a liar when he brings it up to us. How can we overcome this most readily and most quickly? Here it is. I told you I was almost done. Here it is. If you would go to the cross and see Jesus Christ hanging there in effigy as you, it is just hard to look at him wearing these masks and saying, hey, Jesus, I'm doing okay, aren't I? It's just a great opportunity to see yourself as you really are. Because we all are hanging there in effigy. He's hanging there for us. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Thank you for your attention. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for prayer.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we wish you God's blessings, we wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.